జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సద శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అతలచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సద శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తవృందకి ఓర్ ప్రేమనందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చాతేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్రత్రి సర్వో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తభగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వారైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యేత్రి శుశ్రూషుభీ తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవసంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసియా భువి భావుగాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందమనుభేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది దన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాసముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. మనీయకిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకునిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విశృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కనిగాభి కాభిగాభి. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश आसं हरिगदोद्गीतं त्रिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाधवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितशङ्खचक्रं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारया वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदं पुरतो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमति राधिकाये नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणानां मध्ये महाभारतम् द्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीमष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वा मनसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विवर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तय केशवा पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरहप्येवीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्वन्दिदिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं सामगाः ज्ञानावस्थितदर्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द। योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचं मां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यकरशक्तिधरस्वधाम्नाम् अन्यांशहस्तचरणश्रवणां त्वगादीन् प्राणान्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं। भूतेर्महद्भिर्येमापुरो विभुर्निर्माय शैतेयदमूषु पौरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकं सोऽलं कृषिष्ठ भगवान् भजांसि मे। प्रह्लाद नारद पराशर पुण्डरीक व्यासंबरीश शुकशौनक भीष्मदाभ्यान् रुक्मांगदार्जुन वसिष्ठ विभीषणान्यान् पुण्यानिमान् परमभागवतान् स्मरामि। Krishna and Balaram, they were walking through the streets of Mathura, and they suddenly came there a washerman who washes clothes, and Krishna asked him for the clothes. Krishna knew whose clothes they were, and what he was doing, everything, still Krishna asked him for the clothes. Krishna says to the watchman that, give us these clothes. If you do that, it will be very auspicious for you, if you give these clothes to us. He did not understand what was implied in that. What Krishna was saying was that, I have given an opportunity to give something to Krishna, and it is up to you whether to use it or not. But he didn't do that. He said that, Sayajido Bhagavata Paripurnena Sarvada Sakshayapam Rishita Praha Bhutyo Rajnis Durmada. He was a very proud person. Kamsa's, he thought that he is directly reporting to Kamsa. So he had that hangaram inside, and he got angry for Krishna asking these clothes. He gets upset, and he says to Krishna that, how dare you ask this question, because you are not people from Mathura. You live in the village, in the forests and all that. Basically he is saying you are not very civilized. That was his conclusion. And therefore, you are not qualified to wear these kind of clothes. You should not be wearing these type of clothes. He made that decision himself and made that statement, right? These clothes are meant for personalities like Kamsa, who is the king, and you are asking for these clothes. This was Rajaya's reply, right? And he says to Krishna that, you're not very intelligent, because the spies of Kamsa are everywhere. They are walking around. And if they get to know that you have asked for Kamsa's clothes like this, they will punish you heavily and everything will be taken out from you. So best thing is that run away from here. Don't stay here. In a sort of warning from that Rajaga to Krishna. Right? So immediately Krishna, without thinking further, he pushed Rajaga and killed him straight away. Took his head off from there. And when this happened, Rajaga had his own people also, his group of people. They ran away from there and Krishna took away all the clothes from there. And Krishna says, Krishna took some clothes, what he wanted, even though clothes didn't fit him. And then he told Balaram, you take what you want. Krishna took what he wanted, and he told Balaram to take what he wanted. And then he told all his friends, cowherd boys, you also take whatever you want from that. Vastradhanam it was. Not annadhanam, vastradhanam happened there. Then Krishna thought that I have to get this, the clothes properly sized for my body. So he is looking for somebody, and then they saw a tailor not far from there, sitting there. So he goes to the tailor and he says to this tailor, the tailor was a devotee. So as soon as he saw Krishna, he gave him very different types of clothes and properly they decorated Krishna with all the nice clothes, right? So both Ramakrishna, Balaram and Krishna looked very beautiful when they are dressed up very well by this tailor. And they looked like two elephants, small baby elephants. Looks like one white elephant and the other one is a bluish elephant. So Krishna was very pleased with that devotee and gave him Sarupya Mukti. To him, gave him Sarupya. And told him that in this world also, sufficient wealth and material opulences, Smarana Shakti, enough remembrance of Krishna, and good control over the senses, all these things. Sriyamja Paramam Loge Vela Aishwarya Smriti Indriyam gave it to him. Then they wandered around Krishna and Balaram and these cowherd boys. They are walking around there And he saw a shop where there was a person. His name was also Sudama. And they went to his house and he made garlands. That was his job. As soon as he saw Krishna Balaram, he fell down on the ground and offered obeisances to Krishna Balaram. And he brought, in a simple way, a place to sit, brought water to wash Krishna's feet, and brought all the other articles of worship, and made worship to Krishna and Balaram nicely, and also all the cowherd boys who came with Krishna and Balaram. Right? And he said to Krishna that our life has become fruitful now, because you have come to our house. And due to that, all the forefathers, demigods, rishis, all of them are satisfied with us because you have come. And in this way he spoke to Krishna. And bhavando kila vishwasya jagata karanam param avadirna vihamshena shemayaja bhavayaja. That you are the cause of all causes for the creation, and you have appeared in this world. So obviously, all these people were aware of Krishna's position as the absolute truth. And that is why they were able to offer respects like this. And then, in the next verses, this Krishna, there is no Vishamadrishti. Vishamadrishti means that difference between one and the other, right? So, when you see this killing of this Rajaga, the washerman, and when you see him blessing Sudama in this way, it does give the impression that has Krishna got Vishamabuddhi? Vishamabuddhi means that he has got Bedabuddhi. Bedabuddhi. Is there Bedabuddhi in him? Krishna doesn't have Veda Buddhi. What is he saying there? That is just spoken in the next verse. Nahimam Vishamadrishti Sukhrudor Jagadatmana Samayo Sarvabodeshu Bhajandam Bhajato Rabi. Then, this result is due to their activities, not due to Krishna's Vishamadrishti. Bhala Vaijitram means these variations in the results, is due to their variations and they have approached Krishna. Ultimately, they were all get benefited. Rajaga also, who offended Krishna like that, he also got liberated. And similarly, Sudama also got offered liberation. Everybody was offered liberation. And this Vishamadrishti is not there in Krishna. Vedabuddhi is not there. Ultimately, they were all given the liberation, but the way they have punished, were treated, were according to their pravritti vaijitram. That means their activities. The way ye yadamam prabhadyande tamstadeva bhajamyaham. How you approach Krishna, Krishna responds accordingly. This is the principle. How we approach Krishna, accordingly Krishna responds. This principle, right? So, so they say that he says to him that this garland maker, devotee Sudama, he says to him that what do I have to do for you? And we getting an order from you itself is a blessing for us. And in this way, Sudama spoke to Krishna, and in a pleasing way, he brought all nice flowers and garlands, and made of beautiful flowers, and offered it to him. Krishna Balaram was very pleased with the humility of that devotee and his surrender. And seeing that, he took the garlands, wore himself, themselves, and offered everything to Sudama, whatever he wanted, gave him that. the result was that Sudama became a great devotee. And he didn't want anything else. Just wanted bhakti. That's all. And Krishna gave him that bhakti. So, after that, giving all these blessings, opulences, strength, lifespan, and fame, all these things to him, and with Balaram he left the scene. With Balaram he left the scene. So, Balaram and Krishna, next day, 42nd chapter. 42nd chapter is about blessing Kubja and breaking that bow. Kamsa used to worship a bow, broken that bow, and Kamsa was having nightmare, bad dreams at night. And then the fight, what happened? All those things is in the next chapter. Krishna went along in the streets and saw a lady who had three bends in her body. She didn't look very attractive, she didn't. And she was carrying a pot with the paste of perfumes made for Kamsa. And she was bent in her body. She was not even straight. Her body was bent, right? But she was in her middle age. So Krishna looked at her, smiled at her, and addressed her as Sundari. In a nice way, Krishna spoke to her, right? Who are you? That where are you carrying all these things, these beautiful perfumes? For whom? Give it to us. It will be auspicious for you. Her name was Sairantri. So Sairantri also responded in the same way. Krishna addressed her Sundari. She addressed Krishna Sundara. So both have a chat like that, right? She says to him that I am an expert in making this, perfumes or whatever, that for the way the pulp they applied, sandalwood and all other expensive things, and make for the body to become more like we do with our modern things. They also had their own things in the days, right? So she says, I am Kamsa's servant. Trivakra is my name. And Kamsa loves the way I make it for him. And you are the people actually qualified to have this. Saying that, she gave everything to Krishna. And she was attracted to beauty, Krishna's beauty, and also Balaram's beauty. And the way they were smiling and the way they were talking, all these things, and the way they looked at her, so she handed over everything to them, right? And Krishna and Balaram appeared, used them for their own body, and Krishna went up to her and wanted to show to her, to make her realize who he is. He decided to put Krishna's feet on her feet. From the backside, he put the hand, and with the right hand, lifted the chin up. With that, the bend in the body has gone, completely gone, right? You will see there, Padbhyam Akramya Prabhade Dyungulatana Paninam Pragrahya Vibhuchibhuye Adhyalpam Udaninada Machyuda. The word he used, Achyuda, because to say that there is nothing that is not possible for Krishna to do. Then, when Krishna did this, her form changed and she looked very beautiful after that.
Yeah.
And that's Mugundas Parshanad Sadhyo Babhuva Pramadottama Brihat Shroni Payodhara. So, when all these things happened, she felt very shy after that, because she herself felt that she looks very beautiful now. And she smilingly told Krishna, come to my house. She wanted to invite Krishna home. And I cannot leave you. And I'm attached to you now. And I'm affected by your beauty. So, when Krishna asked this, Kubja asked this, Kubja, Sairandri, Trivakra, it's all same person. When she said this to Krishna, Balaram turned the face away. You know, sometimes when somebody says something which Balaram could not agree with it, so Balaram looked away from there, didn't look at her. So Krishna smiled at that, and she says to Kubja that I will come one day, but not today. Right? And she said that we are not married and we are not at home, therefore we will come to your house one day. Krishna spoke in a very romantic way. Krishna spoke to her. And she was happy with that. And when Krishna spoke like this, then she left him and Krishna went later with Balaram further. Later on, Krishna goes to her house with Uddhava, another instance. And Krishna, she had a son from Krishna. His name is Upashloka. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in another Puranams it says like that. So, the women in Mathura, attracted by Krishna's beauty, they could not believe themselves, their hair was fallen off, and bangles as well, and the clothes, everything. And they didn't know, because they were affected by his beauty. And then Krishna was inquiring about the place where the bow is kept. And he saw the bow, and he went there. It was like a temple they have built with this bow, which was worshipped there. And there were security guard there outside. Krishna didn't care, he just walked in and went and took that bow. And with the left hand he lifted it and broke it like an elephant breaks the sugar cane. You've seen the huge sugar cane rods, how the elephant breaks them into pieces to eat. In the same way, Krishna broke this bow. Hearing that, the whole Mathura got a shock, the sound of that, and Kamsa became more frightened. Yeah, Kamsa became more frightened. And the security people there, they got angry with Krishna for what he has done. Without asking permission, got inside and broke the bow. And they were shouting that we have to arrest him and lock him up in this way. Krishna and Balaram got so angry with them and with the pieces of bow what Krishna has broken, they smashed on their head and killed them. So all these things were done as a warning to Kamsa, what's going to happen. And Kamsa's army came there. So they were also, a few people from Kamsa's security services came there and they were killed. And they came out from that temple where the bow was worshipped. So this was a build-up for killing Kamsa. Prior to that, all these things happening. All the people in Mathura got to know that end is coming. Krishna's end, Kamsa's end is going to happen. Right? So local people, they were all talking to each other about their courage, their strength, and their beauty. And they were young boys, but the way they acted gave the impression to the people that they are not ordinary children. They got that impression, the local people, right? And they were very freely wandering around everywhere, doing what they want. At that time, the sun set, the evening. And Krishna and Balaram, along with the other cowherd boys who were with him, with them, came back to that garden where Nanda Maharaj was camping and where at night Krishna was sleeping there. So, when that day what happened, that has become a news in Mathura that night. So, the people in Mathura, they had, they were thinking that about the beauty, Krishna's beauty, and Krishna's strength, and Krishna's courage. All these things, they sensed that the whole thing is going to change in Mathura. They understood that. And what the gopis spoke about the women in Mathura, that was coming true now. The Mathura Vasis, or the people in Mathura, their good fortune has come. Out of all the leelas Krishna has performed in his pastimes in this world, the shortest one is Mathura Leela. He spent a longer time in Vrindavanam, Gokulam, Dwaraka, everywhere. But Mathura Leela is a very small, short period of time. So Krishna and Balaram came to the park where they were sleeping, and they had sweet rice that night, say, Shirova Sejanam. And then after that, they slept that night there. They were knew that next day Kamsa will be gone. So, but they didn't bother Krishna. Krishna slept comfortably with Balaram. And then he says that this incident, what happened in that temple where the bow was worshipped, and all the people who were killed, all this news reached Kamsa, and Kamsa couldn't sleep that night. Krishna and Balaram were sleeping comfortably in the park, but Kamsa couldn't sleep, right? And also, he started seeing certain bad omen of something going to happen the next day, right? If you look at the verses, 28, 29, 30, and 31, four verses, is the kind of omen Kamsa had as an indication of his death next day, impending death next day. Yeah. So many omen are spoken there. What are they? He says, when he looked in the water, he could see his reflection in the water, but not the head. Without the head, right? Similarly, when he looked at the sun and the moon, it all looked to two suns and two moons, seeing everything too, right? And when he looked at his own reflection in the mirror, there is a hole in the body. And similarly, when you close your ear, you are supposed to hear the beating of the pranam inside. He couldn't hear that. And when he looked at the trees, it looked golden colors in the trees. And similarly, he couldn't see a marking on the of the feet on the ground. And in the dreams, he was embracing dead people, previously dead people. He was embracing them. And then he saw himself traveling on top of a donkey. And he was eating some poisoned food. Similarly, he was massaging all his body with oil, but was traveling alone with a garland, right? In this way, all sorts of omen. There is a whole shastram behind it. In them days, obviously, they were known to them, right? So a lot of indications, he saw them, both in his waking state and in the dream state. And with all these dreams, he couldn't sleep. That night, he couldn't sleep. And the sun rose in the morning. After the sunrise, Kamsa has arranged for the wrestling match between Chanura and Mushtiya. And that arena where it was organized all was very well decorated, and he had arranged the people to play the drums and music, everything. It's like a festival, it was organized, right? All the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and all the other Mathura local people, village people, and other Kamsa's friends who are under him ruling, under Kamsa, they have also come. And all the ministers were there, and Kamsa came and sat on his throne. And the wrestlers were there, and you know how the wrestlers are, they will show their muscles and they... They impress everybody, don't they? So they had their own trainers, and they all, a huge group of people were there. Chanura and Mushtiya and their assistants. The wrestlers have their own followers also. Their names are mentioned there. Koda, Shala, Toshala. They're all wrestlers. But the main ones are Chanura and Mushtiya. And then... Nanda Maharajan also knew about all this, what has happened. And all the senior cowherd men who came from Vrindavanam with Krishna, they also knew what has happened. So, they didn't know what to say because of all this what happened. They were invited to come for the festival. And Nanda Maharaj didn't know anything what was going to happen. Nanda Maharaj never thought in his dreams that Krishna was going to kill Kamsa. All these things. But that day's activities, what happened in Mathura, made Nanda Maharaj to think, and the people were talking about it. So Nanda Maharaj has brought a lot of gifts to Kamsa. He went and offered all that, and they, in a very thoughtful mood, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men, elderly men from Vrindavanam, who has come with Krishna, they went and sat in some their places, right? So, so this is going on, this beating the drums, and it's a festival, Dhanuryagam it is called. It was Yagam, is it not? So, there, Shri Shuka Vacha, Atha Krishnascha Ramascha, Krita Shaujau Parandava, Malla Dundubi Nirghosham, Shurtva Drashtum Upeyatu. Krishna and Balaram, they heard all these things. So there, you see a word, Sri Shukha Brahma says, Krita Shaujau. Sridharajari Swamiji says there that the word Krita Shaujau means Krishna and Balaram wanted to, the word, Krita Shaujau, wanted to tell the world that they were not at fault in what they were doing. To tell that word, that by that word Krita Shaujau. Krita Shaujau generally means that they have bathed themselves and cleaned themselves and came. But Sridhara Swami says like this, that the word Krita Shaucho has that meaning, that we are not at fault for what's going to happen, right? So, because we are not ordinary people, when that Shaiva Chapam, that bow, that was broken, similarly, through other activities also, they were saying to Kamsa that we are not ordinary people. They wanted to get this message to Kamsa, right? And the idea behind that was, Krishna was giving an opportunity for Kamsa to change his thinking. He has locked up Vasudeva and Devaki. In spite of all these things happened, Kamsa was not willing to release them from the prison. Who? Vasudeva and Devaki. And Krishna was sending the message to Kamsa, this is your last opportunity. You got a chance now. Krishna gives opportunity all the time to everybody. To us also. To everybody Krishna gives an opportunity to take shelter. But if we don't take shelter, that's our problem, not Krishna's problem. Same way, Krishna gave an opportunity to Kamsa. Krishna gave an opportunity to Duryodhana also, to Dhritarashtra also. It's not. When he went for the message before the war, when he went to the Asinapur to avoid the war, Krishna was trying to negotiate on behalf of Yudhishthira. He went there and he spoke to everybody in the assembly, appreciated what Krishna has spoken, how to avoid the war. If you read the third canto, you will see there what happened. That Vidura was there and everyone agreed, even Dhritarashtra agreed, but Dhritarashtra said, I can't do anything. His weakness with Duryodhana. So there also Krishna gave the opportunity, but they couldn't take it. And Vidura said to Dhritarashtra that if you don't take this chance, this is your last chance, if you didn't take advantage of it, the whole Kaurava race will be wiped out from this earth. Vidura said this to Dhritarashtra. And Duryodhana was there in the assembly. So when Vidura said this to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra agreed with that, but Vidura said to him, the only thing you have to do is to get rid of this one son, Duryodhana. You have to throw him out from the kingdom. Yeah? If you do that, we will all be saved. Everyone will be saved. We can avoid the war. That's the only way it can be done. Listening to this, Duryodhana is sitting there. And Duryodhana couldn't take it. He turned against Vidura and Vidura left. After that, Vidura left. Right? So you can see Krishna's plan, nobody understands, right? And Vidura, when this all happened, just like Kamsa couldn't sleep that night, Dhritarashtra also couldn't sleep. War was imminent, right? Whenever Dhritarashtra had problem, he will send somebody to Vidura to consult. Vidura will come. Every time this happens, and Vidura will give some good advice, Dhritarashtra will fall asleep. This was regular thing happened. So this was the last opportunity to avoid the war. And Vidura came and spoke to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen. And then Duryodhana decided to throw him out from the palace. And he even told his men that torture him in such a way that he should be breathing still. He shouldn't die, but torture him enough, but without killing him. And with these words, Vidura said to Duryodhana that, I will go, you don't have to torture me or fight with me. I'm going, he said. And left his bow and arrow and walked out from there. So this is what happened to Vidura. And that night Dhritarashtra couldn't sleep. That he knew that the war is going to happen. And Dhritarashtra knew very well that if a war happens, Krishna is on the other side and standing behind the Pandavas, he will destroy the whole race. This was all known to them. Yeah. So here he has given enough opportunity to Kamsa. Krishna has given enough time to Kamsa to come to his senses and release Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison, which he still didn't do. Which he didn't do still, in spite of that. Right? So Krishna concluded that he is his uncle, right? But Krishna concluded there is no harm in killing him. And you won't be able to find fault with us. And that's all implied in that word Krita Shaujav. That's what Sridhara Swami says. That Krita Shaujav word is to indicate that we are right in our decision what we are doing. Because killing an uncle by a nephew is not considered very good, is it not? In them days, from mother's side, connections are very strong. Not like today. Today it is from the, every family is nuclear family, isn't it? But maternal relationships are very strong in them days. So therefore, Kamsa is an uncle. And uncle and nephew relationships are very strong in them days. Not today, but them days. So killing Kamsa has to be justified. So Krishna has given all the opportunity to Kamsa to behave properly and to release Vasudeva and Devaki, which he didn't do. And therefore, Krishna has to justify it. What he is doing is the right thing. And that's what that word Krita Shaujav means, says Sridhara Swami about it. So, then initially they went into the wrestling arena, therefore, but while going, Kamsa has parked one powerful elephant called Kuvilayapitam there. And the elephant keeper, Mahout, what it's called, he was there, right? And he's called Ambashta. In Shastram, it's called Ambashta. Ambashta, Ambashta Margamna, Deha Vakrama Machiram. That, give us away, he said to him, to this Mahout, right? Move away from our, because he was kept at the entrance to this arena. Otherwise, I'll send you your elephant and you both to Yama's abode. Krishna told him like that, right? And he got upset, this Mahout, right? And he said that he pushed that elephant towards Krishna, to kill Krishna, attack Krishna, right? So, Krishna caught hold of the trunk of the elephant and beat that on the trunk and started running between the legs. Krishna is small size-wise, but between the legs he started running, right? So elephants normally find where through its smell power of smell, right? So not able to see Krishna. Krishna is hiding underneath the leg, between the legs. The elephant put the trunk and caught hold of Krishna from there. And Krishna forcefully escaped from the grip of the elephant, right? So, at that time, Krishna held the tail of the elephant and like a snake, Krishna started treating the elephant and smacked the elephant, and elephant was thrown a long distance. It says here, Panja Vimshadi Vichakarsha Yatha Nakam Suparna Ivalilaya, 25 meters or something. That's, I don't know what that measurement is. It is 25, it says. Dhanusha Panja Vimshadim Vichakarsha. The elephant was thrown out, right? And then elephant came back. And the elephant feeling the power, Krishna's strength coming out, right? And elephant was trying to catch Krishna. And it was turning left side and right side.
And Krishna played the game with the elephant. Krishna was moving so fast between left and right, right? There is a whole science about elephant. A rishi called Matanga Maharshi, he has written a book, and he was an authority on elephant. He knew everything about elephants, right? And Krishna has knew this science. Matanga Leela, it's called, that book. How to look after the elephants and the psychology of the elephants. Everything is known to Krishna. So, with Krishna's hand, he beat on the mastakam, on this front part of the head of the elephant, right? And elephant fell on the ground, and Krishna also fell on the ground, and elephant got up and wanted to poke its tusks on Krishna, right? But when he poked that, Krishna moved away, and both the tusks went deep into the ground. So he was getting angry. The elephant was getting frustrated and getting angry as well. And then he got up and came to Krishna, running fast. Krishna held both the tusks and smacked on its forehead, and it died. Fell down on the ground and died. Pulled out both the tusks from the elephant's body. So imagine the strength behind that. Gave one to Balaram and kept one to himself. By now, the blood that has come from the elephant is on Krishna's body. And he is sweating as well. And both Balaram and Krishna, they were there. They had one of them, each one of them had one of the tusks from the Kuvilaya Petam, that elephant. And that is what is spoken there. All this is possible for Krishna to do because he is Yogeshwara, yogic power. All this power is power of yoga, right? Here, all kinds of mystic powers Krishna has. Ekadasha Skanda mentions that, is it not? Krishna's different yogic powers, yoga siddhis, right? So, it was all used through that yoga power, yoga balam, right? And he has also spoken about that. And by seeing Krishna's face itself, Kuvilaya Petam lost its strength. And then Krishna played with the elephant like he played with a bull. Krishna was used to playing with bulls in Vrindavan, right? So, so thinking that this huge elephant is like a bull, that is how Krishna was dealing with it. Similarly, what it mentions there is that all these things is not human. It is all due to that yoga power in Krishna. Yoga siddhi. Yeah. Yoga balam. Right? Yoga prabhaval says. So, these power, strength, force, everything is extraordinary power that comes from yoga, yoga processes, right? You can do that when somebody has that yoga power. There's so many others have done this in similar way. Not the elephant, but there's so many stories about the yogis who take wild elephants with them when they go. Paramahamsa Yogananda, you heard about him, the autobiography of a yogi. In that book, he says about a yogi who carried lions, tigers, everything with him through yoga power. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in Jharkhand forest, when he walked, all the wild elephants accompanied him. Jnaneshwar in Maharashtra, there is a whole story about him, how he carried controlled tigers and elephants and lions. That story is there in the Jnaneshwari. So, these are not unusual things. Yogis have got this capacity. Through their yogic power, they can bring all the wild elephant, wild animals under their control. And there are so many examples of that. So they entered into both Balaram and Krishna into the arena after this. And at that time, Krishna looked different. Different people saw Krishna differently. And this verse in the Bhagavadam is very famous. How different people saw Krishna differently. Yeah. And that's the last 17th verse in the 43rd chapter. Mallanam Ashanir Nranam Naravara Strinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Sujano Asadam Chidibujam Shastra Supitro Shishu Mrityur Bojapater Virad Avidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam Vrishninam Paradeva Devi Vido Rangam Gada Sagraja. Krishna entered into the arena, and everybody there, their perception of Krishna was different. They all saw Krishna differently. The the wrestlers, they saw that their end has come. In other words, they felt like a lightning coming to finish them. Ashanir Nranam. That's how they perceived Krishna and Balaram, right? And they looked at Krishna and Balaram, Raudram, the feeling there, right? It means that in their mind, because by now the news has reached them also, and they were feeling anger towards Krishna and Balaram that they have to deal with. They have already understood that they are not ordinary children. They have killed Kulayapidam. And the day before they have broken that bow, a very big, powerful bow it was, right? So they knew that two great personalities had come, right? And Naravara Allanam Ashanirnam Naravara Srinam Smaro Murtiman. So ordinary people saw some two great personalities had come, right? And the women, they were attracted by the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, right? And Srinam Smaro Murtiman, that Cupid personified has come in front of them. That's how the women thought about Krishna and Balaram. And then then he says, Gopanam Gopanam Sojano Asadam Shidibujam Shastha Ashopitro Shishu. For Gopa's cowherd men, they thought he is our person. Krishna is one of our clan, a members of our group, is it not? And all the kings who had, all the lot of kings were present there, they all realize that he is the one whom we have to listen. He is going to chastise us, because they were all following Kamsa. So they saw him as a chastiser for their offenses to others, right? And the parents, Nanda Maharaj was there. Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna as his son. And Kamsa saw Krishna as his death personified, has come. And those who have
Shasta Sopitro Shishu Mrityur Bojabade Avidusham Virad, that ignorant people, they did not know what to say about him. And Yoginam Param Tattvam, for the yogis, absolute truth has come. And for Yadavas, Paradeva Devi, Paradevada. In this way, 10 different ways it says there. Krishna was perceived by people in 10 different ways of the people who assembled there, right? So, there is 9 rasas, well-known rasas, which is called Raudram, Albhudam, Shringaram, Hasyam, Veeram, Daya, Bhayanagam, Bhivalsam, Shandam. 9. And then 10th one, Bhakti. So all these 10 rasas were, in 10 rasas were shown there in 10 different people who saw Krishna and Balaram there, right? So, Navarasam they call it, they are very well known. It comes in Bharatanatyam and all that. You know, in dance and drama and all that. They exhibit these rasams. All the ancient systems, ancient dramas, these are all a part of that. So, when Kuvalayapitam was killed, Kamsa understood that something is going to happen, right? And he knew that if the wrestlers Chanura and Mushtiga could not kill them, then he is going to kill him. Kamsa has come to that conclusion, right? And both Krishna and Balaram, they were young boys. But their long arms and the garlands they were wearing and the clothes they had, and at the same time, they looked very attractive due to their beautiful faces, and people were attracted who were sitting in the arena. They were all attracted. And everybody was thinking about Krishna and Balaram, right? And then it says that the people of Mathura who were present there, there's a huge assembly of people, right? And they were looking at Krishna and Balaram and they were relishing the beauty, their beauty, right? And most of them felt very devotional to him and they wanted different expressions of their faces. And they were talking a lot of things, what they heard the day before, what happened, right? And the way they have understood, they started talking about Krishna and Balaram. The way they have understood. You know, it is like that, isn't it? They heard that Krishna has done this, and there was a lot of mistakes also in what they spoke. All the demons, what Krishna and Balaram has killed, everything is hearsay, isn't it? Just hearsay. You know, in villages how it is. So, they got it wrong, some of them. Some demons which Krishna has killed, they said Balaram has killed. And some demons what Balaram has killed, they were saying Krishna has killed them. Like this, they have got it wrong, all, everything, right? So many things like that, right? But whatever they heard and they understood, they were talking about it, whom they have killed, right? So, and then they said that 8 verses
in that 43rd chapter, starting with 23rd verse, in 8 verses, what they were talking to each other about Krishna and Balaram is mentioned in that. Some of them said that people are saying that they are Narayana himself. Krishna is Narayana himself. And they are born in Vasudev's children. In this way, somebody was saying like that. And they said that he was born from Devaki, but he was taken to Gokulam. And all these years, he was growing up in Gokulam for Nanda Maharaj's children, like that, right? Then all the Trinavarta, Arjuna trees, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, those Arjuna trees, Shankachuda, Keshi, Dhenuga, Akasura, all these people were killed by Krishna, they were saying. Then they were saved, the cowherd boys were saved from cows also, from the forest fire by Krishna. Then Kaliya was killed Kaliya was subdued by Krishna. And Indra also in the same way. And then Govardhana hill was lifted by Krishna for 7 days. And all of them were protected from rain and the wind and thunder by Krishna by lifting the Govardhana hill. And gopis used to see Krishna and Balaram every day. And they were relieved from all their sufferings just by seeing Krishna daily. So, in this way, Mahatmas are saying that the Yadus family, Krishna comes from the Yadus family lineage, due to that they have become famous, and Mahatmas are saying like this, Balaram is his elder brother. Pralambasura was killed by him, and Valsasura and Bagasura was also killed by him, by Balaram, they were saying, even though they were not, were killed by Krishna. So people talk like this, isn't it? You know how gossip becomes like this, everybody was saying everything. And by now they have arrived inside the arena. So, that is why, yadā drishtam yathā shrutam. According to what they have perceived, they have spoken. Yeah. And they were talking about how Kolyapidam was killed before they entered. And while they were talking like this, Chanura and Mushtiya, the two wrestlers who were arranged to fight, so they came up and they said to Krishna that you should fight with me, Chanura said, and Mushtiya should fight with Balaram. And if we fight well, it will please Kamsa. Kamsa will be very pleased, right? And if Kamsa is pleased, we will all be well off. We'll all be benefited from that. Loyal servants to Kamsa. So Chanura and Mushtiya is still thinking that they can fight with Krishna and Balaram, right? So they said to him, to Krishna, we have heard that you are looking after cows and calves in Vrindavan, right? And we also heard that you are used to fighting among yourselves, right? And Kamsa would like to see that, your fighting power, how good you are at fighting. Kamsa likes to watch that wrestling, right? That is why you were invited here, right? So Krishna says that that what you said is true, we were fighting, but we were fighting each other. We have not fought with people like you before. And we are willing to fight, but please, Kamsa, by fighting. But we fighting with you doesn't make any sense. What we should do that, Chanurya should fight Mushtiya, and I'll fight with Balaram, because we are same age group and same strength, and you are a grown up, big, powerful, restless, so you two should fight each other, and we will fight between us, right? So, not only that, you both have learned wrestling from your teachers, from your guru, how to wrestle, right? So you do that and we'll place Kamsa and we will fight like this, right? And it is not proper, we fight with you, because that is adharma, against the dharma, right? We are children and you are big, powerful wrestlers, right? And it is not based on dharma, like this Krishna spoke. Krishna spoke like this to Chanurya, right? So Chanurya says, you both look like small children, right? But actually you are not small children, right? You are very powerful people, right? And you have got strength, that Kuvalaya beat him outside. He has got the strength of 10,000 elephants, right? And you have killed them, killed that elephant, right? And you are more than us as far as strength is concerned. Therefore, you should fight with me. Balaram should fight with Mushtiya. Chanurya said this, right? In this way, in that 44th chapter, they are invited, right? There is no adharmam in that. It's not against their religious principles, fighting like this. Chanurya with Krishna and Mushtiya with Balaram. Right? And 44th chapter, if you look, fighting started. Krishna agreed when he said that. Yeah. And then there is a rule in wrestling also. So they have to follow the rules as well, right? With the hand, you have to fight with the hand. Similarly with the legs, with the legs. And in this way, they fought each other. Hastabhyam hastayor badhva padbhyam evacha padayoho vichakarshadur anyunyam prasahya vijigishaya aratni dve aratnibhyam janubhyam chaiva januni shira shirshna raso rasta anyunyam abhijagnatu. Similarly with punching, with punch, and with the elbow, with the elbow. And similarly, head with the head, in this way, the chest with the chest, in this way, there's a rule. They have to follow that, right? So they fought each other like this. Chanurya and Mushtiya with Krishna and Balaram, right? So both of them side want to win. And Krishna wanted to keep it going for a while to entertain people who were present there. And the people were shocked to see this. Big, powerful wrestler fighting with a little boy. 10, 11 years old he is. Krishna is 11 years old at this time. They were saying it's not fair. What's up, going on? It's not fair. And they were talking to each other that if we watch this, they started protesting. They were shouting from there, they should stop this. This is against the dharma. And some of them are saying, if we witness this, either we should stop this or we should leave this place. That is the rule, right? So, and they were saying, why did Kamsa allow this to happen, right? And they were saying that if adharmam is happening anywhere, if you witness, which is against the principles of religion, in that situation, you should not stay quiet, right? If it is possible, you should stop it. If it's not possible, if it's possible, you should use force and stop it. If not, you should criticize that in very strong language, you should condemn that. If such a thing happens, when adharmam, when you know it is adharmam, it's against religious principles, if you have the strength, you should stop it. If you can't stop it, you should use a very strong language and condemn it. And if that's also not working, you should walk away from there. This is the Dharma Shastram says that, right? So they were saying that this is really adharmam, what was happening here. And they were trying to put pressure on Kamsa about it, right? And if this goes on, then we would also, if you don't do it, you are also a part of it. And you will have to share the sinful reaction from that. Yeah? So, therefore, we should walk away from here. They were saying like this, right? And Krishna was sweating. Krishna had blood over his body. But still he looked very beautiful with all this, right? And they were attracted by their beauty, Krishna's beauty, right? And they were talking about that, Krishna's beauty, right? So, what happened then? He says, what different people were saying in the crowd. They were all making different statements, right? And that's all put in here. Some people are saying that, look at Balaram's face, the anger in Balaram's face, you can see that. And some other says that Krishna is, it's a Manushya Natyam. Yeah. Understanding Krishna is difficult. Yeah. We read Bhagavatam, but to what extent can we understand Krishna even after that? Yeah. Only thing is, if you keep listening to the devotees, what they had to say about Krishna, you'll start understanding Krishna's position. And that is the most difficult thing to understand. Many people think Krishna is like us. He has got a form like us. Two hands, two legs. That's all fine. But the power behind that and his position, it's very difficult to understand that. This is why when Maitreya Maharshi met Vidura, you will see this conversation, that this whole creation manifestation is working under Maya. And Maya itself is difficult to understand. And this is the person who has created this Maya. So imagine his power. Maya even we can't understand. Maya is three modes of nature, is it not? So that is why we are so baffled in this world. If you look at that conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, you will see there. He said, Sayam Bhagavato Maya Yan Nayena Virudhyade Isharasya Vimoktasya Karpanyade Karpanya Mudabandhanam. This Maya, which is capable of putting us, all of us, into this situation where we are now, not knowing what to do. Basically, we are all in the same situation, is it not? And therefore, we don't even know what is truth, is it not? This is our crisis now. What is the reality in all these things? And you perceive the truth in one way in the vacant state. And you perceive the truth in another way in the dream state. And you perceive the truth in another way in the deep sleep. Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti. is the truth in the vacant state is real, or the truth in the dream state real, or the truth in the deep sleep is real? This is the question asking Vidura and Maitreya Maharshi. That question comes up there. So Vidura says at that time to Krishna, to Maitreya Maharshi, that yascha mutadamo loge yascha buddhe param gadaha ta ubhau sukhamedhede klishyanti klishyati andarido janaha. It's a beautiful verse. What he's saying is, Vidura is saying to Maitreya Maharshi, in this world, two types of people have no problem. Yascha mutadamo loge, one who doesn't think about life. Just come here, live a life, enjoy the senses, eat well, sleep well, and die and go. Those people don't have any problem. Yascha mutadamo loge. They're called mutas. Isn't it? They're called mutas. Mutas don't have any problem. They are comfortable with the situation. They don't ask any questions. They are just happy with the way things are. Similarly, yascha buddhe param gadaha. Those who have realized the truth, they also don't have any confusion. Those who have realized, they don't have any confusion. Those who are mutas, they also don't have any confusion. Then, ta ubhau sukhame dede. There is a lot, most of the people are in between these two. They are neither mudha nor self-realized. And they are in trouble. They are the one who are in trouble, is it not? So that is what he is saying there. Yascha mutadamo loge, yascha buddhe param gadaha, tavubhau sukhame dede, klishyanti andarido janaha. Klishyati andarido janaha. So it is there that who are in trouble, and it is on their problem what Vidura was saying to Maitreya Maharshi. Remember what he said, Sukhaya karmani karoti loko, anyade sukha naidu varamamba, those verses, right? So basically, these people who are in between, neither mudha, mudha means samogunam, complete samogunam, so they don't worry about anything. They're just happy with what is there. Eating, sleeping is concerned. They are satisfied with that. And then the other side is the realized souls who have seen the truth. They are also not confused. But this one in between these two, majority is in trouble. They are the one he is talking about, right? So in the same way that the Krishna and Balaram, they have come. These two forms have come in this world. Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma, has accepted these two forms and has come into this world. When they came, everybody took it. Nobody understood them, who they were. They were thought they are another two people like us, Krishna and Balaram. And this is why Uddhava said to, only very few people knew who Krishna and Balaram was. And Uddhava was one among them. Uddhava said to Vidura when they met in Vrindavanam, this was the greatest misfortune of the Yadavas. They didn't know who Krishna was, even though he lived among them. Yadavas thought of Krishna that he is one like them. Harim meena ivodupam, it says. Like all the fish are thinking, seeing the reflection of the moon inside the water, that he is also another fish like them. In the same way, Yadavas also thought about Krishna, that he is also one like us, maybe a little bit more powerful than us. That's all. This is how Maya works. So Yoga Maya does all these things. They won't allow ordinary people to understand Krishna, who Krishna is. And that's the most difficult part in the Bhagavatam. When you keep reading, you realize that we are not able to understand the Krishna's position. No matter how much time you read Bhagavatam back and forth, still you still realize that difficult to understand the Krishna, who Krishna is. So you can see that Vidura also made mistakes. Vidura also did not understand Krishna, but Vidura was a devotee, a good devotee. Just like Krishna considered Vidura also equally important like Uddhava. Vidura used to massage Krishna's feet a lot. And Saharsana Shishna Charanobhidhanam, it says in the Bhagavatam. That Krishna, Vidura used to keep Krishna's lotus feet in his lap and massage it all the time. In spite of all that, Mahabharata war happened and Vidura went on pilgrimage. For 36 long years, he stayed away from Dwarka and from Kurukshetram everywhere. He stayed away from all those places, right? And then, when Krishna spoke Ekadasya Skandam to Uddhava in Prabhasam, at that moment, Krishna remembered Vidura and told Uddhava that I had Vidura. Where is Vidura gone? We have not seen him for a long, long time. He said, it would have been nice if he was also here. In other words, Krishna had in his mind to give that knowledge to Vidura as well, what he has given to Uddhava. He had that in his mind, right? But Vidura was not there. And then when they met in Vrindavan, Vidura and Uddhava met in Vrindavan, Vidura says to Uddhava, whatever Krishna has spoken to you, please talk to me, the same Upadesham. What Krishna has given to you, give it to me as well. Uddhava said this to Vidura, right? But Uddhava said to Vidura that, yes, Krishna has remembered you when he spoke to me. And he said that he wish you were there, but because you were not there, he has spoken to Maitreya Maharshi to give this Upadesham to you. And that is how Vidura goes to Haridwar to hear from Maitreya Maharshi, right? But when Uddhava said this to Vidura, that Krishna remembered you and he wanted to give this Upadesham to you directly, Uddhava felt tremendous feeling for Krishna, that Krishna has not forgotten him. It is nice to hear that from somebody else, that Krishna has remembered you at this time. And Uddhava felt that very strong, Vidura felt it very strongly at that time, of Krishna remembering Vidura at the time when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Ekadasya Skandam, right? So you can see that the devotee's feeling relationship with Krishna is like that. That they feel happiness when Krishna recognizes their position. This is how Krishna's recognition is. When Krishna said that, I had another devotee like you, to Uddhava, he said, who's Vidura, had he been there, I would have liked to tell him as well the same thing. So when Vidura heard that, Vidura felt in his heart, Krishna has accepted me as a devotee, like Uddhava. So that feeling of a devotee feeling that is a big thing in a devotee's life. Krishna is, because devotees are so many in this world, is it not? Everybody is a devotee. But till Krishna says, you are my devotee, Krishna recognizes that. You cannot say, because after all, it is the person to whom you have become a devotee. He has to recognize that. So you can see how Vidura felt it, how he felt very strongly when Krishna said this to Uddhava about him, about Vidura. So here you can see this, that they were talking about Krishna's different with Balram, what all they did in this playing the flute and all the pastimes he performed in Vrindavanam, that was being spoken now here. And they say that it is very unfair what's going on here. We are very unfortunate people because Kamsa has invited them here to be to fight with these wrestlers, and this is not fair, they said. And then in three verses, they were talking about the good fortune of the gopis, the people who have assembled in the arena. Gopyastava kimucharan yadamushya rupam lavanyasaram asamordham ananya siddham dridbipiband anusavabhinavam durabha ekamda dhama yashasa shriyam aishwarasya. They were saying that the beauty, Krishna's beauty, right? Every day they were relishing it. Who? The gopis. On a daily basis, right? And how fortunate they are. The people in Mathura were speaking, right? So gopis are the most fortunate people who are able to see Krishna on a daily basis and enjoy the beauty of Krishna, right? Then the next verse is saying, Ya dohane avahanane madhanobaleva premkhenkhanar arbarudidokshana marjanado gayandi chainam anurakthadhiya ashrukandhya dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitayanaha. Gopi's consciousness, yeah? What was it? They were so attached to Krishna that while milking the cows, while pounding the grains, while churning the butter, while washing the floor, while allowing the children in the swing, putting them to sleep, right? And when the children were crying, right? And similarly, while they were sweeping the floor, gopis only sang one thing about Krishna. That's why that verse is very famous. Ya dohane avahanane madanobaleva prengenkanardham arudidokshana marjanado gayandi chainam anurakthadhiya ashrukandhyaha dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitayana. The good fortune of the gopis is spoken in that verse. Similarly, in the morning when Krishna took all the cows away from Gokulam to forest, to Vrindavanam, and while playing the flute, and that time gopis came out, occasion for them to see Krishna, and naturally gopis are the most fortunate people. In this way, in those three verses, the people who assembled in the arena to watch the fighting, they were talking about Krishna and Balaram, of the good fortune of the gopis, right? So, evam prabhashamanasu strishu yogeshwaro hari. These three verses were spoken by the women in the assembly. They were also there, right? So, at that time, Krishna has decided to finish them, both Chanura and Mushtriya, right? Savayasri Girashutva Putrasnayashu Jadurav Pidravanuda Pidim Putrayora Budau Balam. Nanda Maharaj and others were watching this, what was going on, right? The women were talking this way. At the same time, in Nanda Maharaj's mind, in spite of all these things, still I am his father. That feeling is not leaving them. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda had a lot of difficulty to come out of that box. I am the father and Yashoda is the mother, right? Yeah. So due to that, they were also concerned. And they were feeling it. What will happen now? Then the fight happened between Chanura and Mushtiya, went on. And after a few pounding, Chanura became very weak. The power was so much that his body was couldn't handle it, right?
So then
Chanura tried his best, right, with anger, punched Krishna strongly, right?
But Krishna was like a strong elephant. Nothing was happening to him, even though Chanura was punching him, right? And then finally, he caught hold of his hand and swirled him and smashed him on the ground, right? And he died. Chanura died, right? And then, at the same time, Mushtiya also, Balaram gave him some strong punches and mushti, and he vomited blood and left his life and fell down on the ground like a huge tree. When cyclone happens, how the huge trees fall, like the way he also fell, right? So, so Balaram killed Mushtiya, Krishna killed Chanura, right? And the other people who were assembled, who come with their assistants, Shala and Toshalaga, they are the other people who were there. Out of that, Shala was pushed down by Krishna, and Toshalaga also was made into two pieces and thrown away. And there were other wrestlers who had come. They got frightened and they ran away from there. And Krishna and Balaram didn't chase them. They left them to go. And so when this happened, everybody was happy actually, but except Kamsa. Except Kamsa, right? And Kamsa immediately ordered to stop all playing the drums and music, everything. Kamsa knew that the end has come, right? So suddenly Kamsa gave an order to his men that lock up Nanda Maharaj first, and then take control of all the wealth of these cowherd men. They should also be made penniless, and lock up Nanda Maharaj, right? And he also gave the order that Vasudev should be killed straight away. And similarly, my father Ugrasena and all his men should also be killed in this way. So Kamsa didn't know what he was saying. He was saying all nonsense. He was talking like that, right? And when this happened, Krishna decided that the time has come for Kamsa to go. Yeah.
He jumped onto the, there's a huge platform in the arena where Kamsa was sitting on his throne. And he jumped in front of Kamsa and addressed him, my dear uncle, he says to Kamsa. My uncle, he says. And as soon as Krishna jumped up and came like this, Kamsa knew that he should be prepared to fight. He took his sword and the shield in the hand and got up from his seat, right? So, and then he was swinging in the air with these two things, and Krishna caught hold of him at that time, right? With the sword in the hand, with the shield, Kamsa is a very powerful person, right? And Krishna caught hold of Kamsa, right? And when Kamsa was on his throne, right? From there, when he took out the shield and the sword in his hand, Krishna pushed him down from there, from the throne, and he jumped on top of him and sat on top of him. Right. So, it says here, Pragrahya Kesheshu Chalal Kiridam Nivati Rengobari Tunga Manjad, Tasya Uparishtat Swayam Abjanabha, Papada Vishwashrayam Alpma Tantra. You know why those words are there? Vishwashrayam means that the weight of the whole universe was inside him. And Krishna applied that weight on him. Vishwashrayam. The whole universe is dependent as far as and Abjanabha. That's the word used. Abjan, one who has got all the universes on his in Krishna's abdomen, isn't it? Kuchi. That's where it is. All the weight of the whole. Like he showed it to Yashoda Devi, that everything is in him, the whole weight of the universe. I know all these things are difficult to understand, isn't it? Because we understand Krishna as a person like us. That's where the problem is. So we don't understand it, Krishna's position really. And in order to show that, when Krishna jumps, it won't go in the wrong way. It will always go in the right way. To prove that, that word is used, Alpmatandra. Alpmatandra means that if Krishna does something, it will be perfect. Because it's done from inside. Alpmatandra it is. So it is for that purpose that word Alpmatandra was used. And in order to show the weight of Krishna as applied there, that's what that word Vishwashraya means, right? And all the weight is, all the universe weight is in his kutshi, in his abdomen. That's why Abjanabha is used. That's why those three words are important. Abjanabha, Vishwashraya, Alpmatandra. All these words, right? Then Krishna did this and it says here, last 12 years, Kamsa has been thinking about him. So he's a devotee, very strong devotee he is. Only thing is, his devotion is in another way. It's a different type of devotion it is. So that's what he's saying here. Sanityado uddignadiyatamishwaram piban vadanva vijaran sovan shosan dadarsha chakraidam agrado yada tadeva rupam duravapamapa. All these 12 years, Kamsa has been thinking about Krishna. Last 12 years, right? While speaking, while drinking, while walking, while sleeping, all the time he was thinking about Krishna. When is he going to come, right? So because of that, Kamsa left this body continuously remembering Krishna. That smarana is more important. Everything was done under fear. Is it not? Gopya kamad bayat kamsa. See, the principle is this, that there has to have some relationship with Krishna. In some way. That's what matters. Krishna is not bothered whether it is this way or that way. That's what Gopi's relationship with was kamam. Gopya kamad bayat kamsa. Kamsa out of fear. Shishubala out of dvesham, hate. Deshe chaidyadayo nirva. Sambandho vrishnaya snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. That famous verse in the 7th canto. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi mentions that, right? So, it is, the thing is that Kamsa is also remembered Krishna like that and all the time. And that way, last 12 years, Kamsa's anusandhanam was very good. This is called anusandhanam. Constantly able to remember Krishna without any break, totally, right? So, Narada Maharshi has told Kamsa, ever since he told him, that who is Krishna and who is Kamsa. Narada Maharshi told him, isn't it? And he knew that from the day the voice from the sky said, the eighth child of Devaki will kill you. From that day it started. Tamsa's devotional service started from that day. He never forgot Krishna after that. So that Swarupam, that Vishnu is your enemy, Narada Maharshi confirmed that. So constantly thinking about Vishnu like this, it has had its effect on Krishna, Kamsa. Kamsa had been thinking like that, right? And after they were killed Kuvalayapidam was killed, Kamsa more or less concluded that he is my enemy. This is the person whom Narada Maharshi was talking about, right? So after this happened, this death happened, Kamsa was killed, and remember, Kamsa killed also Krishna's other brothers as well before this, right? So Kamsa's wives at this point, they were crying and they were saying that Mathura has become a place, the anarchy now. There's nobody to rule, right? And they knew that Kamsa has done a lot of wrong things, right? And they were saying that about in the last verses you will see there. These women, they cried a lot after this, right? They were embracing the dead bodies of those who were dying there and cried very loudly. And they were saying that anagasam tum bhudanam kridavan droham ulbanam tene mam bho dasham nito bhuta drikho labheda sham. That Kamsa has punished people heavily, a lot. And one who gives trouble to others, what chance is will survive in this world, right? And this Krishna is the cause of all causes, and for the creation, everything. Devastation is the cause of everything. And whoever tries to go against him will never become, nothing will happen to him, auspicious things, right? Shri Shuka Uvacha, he says, Krishna, who has compassion for everyone, consoled the wives of Kamsa. And whatever rituals have to be performed based on the what is required to be done after death, those ceremonies were done for Kamsa at that time, right? And then Krishna goes to see his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. They were locked up in the prison. Yeah. So they go there, and very interesting scene there, what happened. Yeah. Devaki Vasudevascha. As soon as Krishna and Balaram arrived, immediately the prison officers or whoever they are, they opened the gate, and Vasudeva and Devaki was released from the lockup, from the prison, right? So Krishna and Balaram went there and fell at their feet. Vasudeva and Devaki, right? Devaki Vasudevascha Vijnaya Jagadishwarav Krita Sambandhanav Putrav Sasva Jade Na Shangidav, right? By now the whole news reached them what has happened. Kuvalayapidam was killed. Chanur and Mushtiya were killed. Now Kamsa is also killed. So what is happening now to Vasudeva and Devaki? Vasudeva and Devaki were not thinking that Krishna and Balaram is their children now. What they were thinking was, Krishna and Balaram is Narayana himself. Supreme Lord has come. So when Krishna and Balaram offered obeisances, they were not able to react like normal parents would have reacted. They just stood there, not knowing what to say, because the absolute truth, Supreme Lord Himself, has come like this in these two forms in front of them, right? So at that time Krishna understood what the problem is. He was trying to make Vasudeva and Devaki feel that they are his children. Who? Krishna and Balaram are their children. But Vasudeva and Devaki is not able to think like that after all this what happened. When they heard that they have been released from prison, Kamsa has been killed, Kolyapidam has been killed, Chanur and Mushti has been killed, all these things, right? So, so what did Krishna do? Basically what they are saying is that due to this incident, right, both Devaki and Vasudev were having self-realization at that moment. Because they have understood the truth, what Krishna is, right? So, because of that, Krishna had to apply Maya now on them. On self-realized Vasudeva and Devaki. Because if you understood what is Krishna is, who Krishna is, then you are self-realized. So, so if Krishna did not do this, they won't be able to accept Krishna and Balaram as their children. That's the power of Maya. Maya does everything. That is what whole pastimes of all incarnations is, with the help of Maya. Maya's help only, all pastimes are done. All the pastimes. Whether Ramachandra's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, Narasimha Murthy's pastimes, everything is done with the help of Maya. So, Krishna sensed that if they are in this state now, in this self-realized state, right, they won't be able to, suppose Tattvajnanam comes, right, if they have got the Tattvajnanam, that means self-realization, in other words, and if that happens, then this relationship with the children and the father and mother cannot exist. Because this is a product of Maya. Children and parents' relationship is all Maya. That, of course, it's difficult for us to accept it in our present state, because for us everything is real. Maya is real. This is the most difficult thing, that this Maya does not come in our mind, the power of Maya, right? And therefore we are thinking that whatever we hear again and again, still we find it difficult to see it that way. So Krishna's problem was, now Krishna wanted that Vasudeva and Devaki should enjoy his childhood. Every parents like to see their children growing up, is it not? And that happiness they get from the childhood, Vasudeva and Devaki didn't have so far. Because they didn't stay with them, they were with Nanda Maharaj. So, before that happens, before that childhood experiences in Maya happens, they became self-realized. So this was the problem Krishna had to face. You see the problem? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? That if self-realization happens, what happens to us? This whole thing is Maya then. Then you won't be able to live a life in this world like we are living now. When self-realization happens. Yeah. So Krishna realized that as long as the self-realization is there, this relationship as children and parents cannot continue anymore. Because when they offered obeisances to them, they just stood there because of self-realization. It happened to them like this. In Vasudeva and Devaki also same thing happened. And they could not think of Krishna and Balaram anymore as their children. And when you don't think about somebody as your own children, you can't have any affection for them. You are seeing them completely different at this time, right? So before they could have that childhood happiness of bringing up children and that all the pleasure they get from that, this absolute realization has happened to them. And so therefore Krishna decided to put an end to it. Yeah. So therefore, Krishna decided, let them enjoy that Maya's happiness for some time, as parents and children, and after that, we will give him the proper knowledge. So Krishna kept it away from them and gave it to them later in the 11th canto through Navayogis. Up to that time, they had to wait. Till then, Vasudeva and Devaki thought, Krishna and Balaram is our children. In that way, right? So, Krishna applied Maya. And with that Maya, that knowledge, absolute knowledge was covered, right? And with that, love started again, the parents' love. For the children started again, right? And they spoke to them. That's what, that first 2-3 verses in the 45th chapter, you will see this. Pidara upalabdhartho viditva purushottama ma bodhidi nijam mayam tatana janamohinim. How powerful Maya is. Yeah. Mayam tatana janamohinim. Yeah. Uvacha pidara vetya sagraja sattva darshabha prashraya vanada prena ambadadedi sadaram. So then Krishna addressed Vasudeva and Devaki as daddy and mummy in that way, right? And said, namas nasmato yuvayo smada. Oh, I am so sad, he said, that because of us and your life, has you could not enjoy our childhood, balyam, paugandam, kaishoram. You didn't get any happiness what you would have got from us in the normal way, right? And we are very unfortunate that we didn't give you that happiness, what that all Nanda Maharaj had and Yashoda Devi, not Vasudeva and Devaki didn't have that. And then Krishna is saying, to make it worse, he says, we are also very unfortunate. Krishna says, yeah? Na labdho deva hatayor vaso now bhavadandige yam bala pitrgehasta vindade lalida mudam. Yeah. We are unfortunate because we couldn't live with you during our childhood, right? And the happiness what children get when they are protected by the parents during the childhood, whatever children feel very well protected at that time by the parents. So that's why they don't care anymore in this world. They enjoy playing, because parents are providing everything, right? And that happiness also we didn't get. Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is saying this, right? So both sides, from your side also, you couldn't enjoy our childhood, and we couldn't enjoy your protection either. Either way, it didn't happen, right? And then, so both Krishna said like this to Vasudeva and Devaki. And then he said, we have also did not do the right thing. Dharmam side also, we have not followed the rules. Dharmahani. What does that mean? It means that children have a responsibility towards parents, because they looked after and brought us up when they were children. So at the old age, to look after them is the duty of the children, right? And that is a huge debt. Krishna says that. The first people who have given, looked after our body, children, when we were children, and they have a debt towards the parents at the old age, and even hundreds of years, if you try, you won't be able to pay back that debt. And a son who is strong enough to do that, and he has got the wealth, and he's got the capacity to do that, and if he doesn't do it, then definitely his body will be eaten by Yamadutas, and they will make him to eat his own flesh. This is all mentioned in the Naragaloka Varnana also in the fifth canto, right? And then Krishna spoke a few verses that if you don't look after the parents, what will happen? Madaram, pidaram, vriddham, bhairyam, swadhyam, sudam, shishum, guryam, vipram, pravarnam, ja, kalpo, vibrachosan, mrida. That one who does not, one who is capable but does not look after the parents, and similarly old people, and a chaste wife, and children, son who has not grown up, who has not matured in life. Similarly, the spiritual master, Brahmana, and one who has taken shelter, Sharanagata. If you don't, one person who is capable of doing all these things, if he doesn't do it, then he is dead person, even though he is breathing. So, and then he said that, therefore, but we were helpless, Krishna says, we were small, and we were frightened about Kamsa, and because of that we couldn't do any service to you, and therefore our time was wasted in this way, right? So, Krishna asks for forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki for not caring for them at that time when they were imprisoned, right? So, after Maya came in, everything changed. Vasudeva and Devaki completely changed. Yeah? Oh, our children have come. Took them on the lap, embraced them, and enjoyed it, as the normal parents do, right? And there were tears were coming from their eyes, both Vasudeva and Devaki, right? And they didn't say anything. In this way, then Krishna installed Ugrasena as their king. So, we'll discuss it after a few minutes.
Chetodarpanamarjanam vamaha navadinarvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pradipada purnamrdaswadhanam sarvatma suvanam varam vijayve shri krishna sankirtanam namnama gari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida divida smarnena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva medrashamiha janinanuragaha trinaravi shuni jena taroravi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadishakamai mama janmani janmani shuri bhavadar bhaktirahai trugitvai ai nanda danuja kingaram padidamam shami bhavam budau kripaya tava pada pangaja sida dhuli sadrisham vichindaya nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam gadavabhutavan namagrahane bhavishyari yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Ashrishyava padaradam jinashtuvam adarshanam mahadam karutuva yathatadava vidadadvilam vado malpranadatha sunayevana para sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda. So, after this prison house, Krishna and Balaram joined Vasudeva and Devaki, and they were living together. So,
Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki that talks about a few things of the responsibility of the parents to the children and children to the parents. And these things, what Krishna has spoken here, it is with reference to the, based on the Varnashrama Dharmam also, that for a spiritual knowledge, it's not what was intended. The intention of saying all these things was to understand that to exist in this world, there has to have some cooperation within the family, within the society, within the country, and everywhere. And Krishna's philosophy is like that, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also. The famous words, Sahayatnya Prajasrishtva Puravaja Prajavadi Anena Prasveshiddham Yashavostishta Kamathukha. If you understand that verse well, then you can see how the world works. It is on that principle that the rishis have mentioned that here. We'll come to that later. So, it is on that same principle this is all spoken. That unless there is cooperation between, and not competition. Cooperation is what Krishna has spoken, not competition. The modern world is built on competition. Compete each other all the time. Between, make people to compete all the time. And that is why all these modern ideas will not work. It will fail at the end. Competition doesn't help. Cooperation only will help. So that is what the principle, because Krishna gives you enough examples in that. Like if you look at the world, you can see that there is water in the ocean and that gets evaporated by the sun, sunshine. And then it becomes clouds. And the clouds, in proper time, it gives rain. And the rain comes, and because of the rain, we can grow the vegetables and the food, everything, grains, everything, for which we require the grain. Grain required for our living in this world. Is it not? Annad bhavandi bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava yatnyad bhavadi parjanyam yatnyakarma samudbhava. So if you look at that verses, you can see how the system works. This is the natural way the world is running. Water is there. Water turns into clouds. And from the clouds comes the rain. And from the rain comes grows the vegetables and grass and everything for all other living entities to live in this world. Our subsistence is dependent on the rain, is it not? So this cycle, this is what evam pravartitam chakram, Krishna says. This is a cycle which continues all the time. Same thing, you take our own body for example. Yeah? If you eat food, the different parts of the body has to cooperate, isn't it? The liver, the digestive system, everything has to cooperate. We only have to supply the food inside. But the system inside has to cooperate and get the food digested and gives the energy to the body and the remaining waste has to be destroyed, everything. So there is a system Krishna has created. The body can only work based on that cooperation of the different components inside the body, in this body system. And similarly, if you want to see the senses working, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting and form, eye has to cooperate with buddhi. Only then you will get the vision of the object inside us and we can experience that. Ears have to cooperate with buddhi. Only then we can hear the sound. Similarly, all the other five senses, all senses of knowledge can only work if they cooperate with buddhi, because it is together that we perceive the objects inside us. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. Similarly, if you take our senses of action, karmendriyam, Vaka, Pani, Padam, Payu, Upastham. The five senses of action, right? So, if one hand wants to lift, if another hand goes in another direction, it won't work. The two hands have to cooperate to lift something. So, all karmam also is like that. All, if you observe your own body, you can see it can only work in cooperation between the different components in the body, right? So, in the same way, Krishna is saying there that you perform the human society has to function in a particular way. And we have to cooperate with the other forces in the nature. Water, air, fire. In a cooperative way, not in a competing way. And unless there is cooperation, that's why that verse is so important in the third chapter, I think. Sahayajna prajasrishta purovaja prajavadi anena prasavishuddhum eshavostishta kamathukka. He says, if you live like that, you can peacefully live in this world. Not otherwise. It won't work. There is no other way. There is no other substitute for that. Cooperation is the whole principle of living in this world. Whereas what have we done? We have created competition everywhere. In every field we are competing each other. And that competition is destroying us now. Bhagavadam is saying, Nirmal Saranam Sadam, isn't it? Nirmal Saranam means freedom from competition. This competing nature is not human nature. It is against the principles what Krishna has spoken. So this knowledge is missing in the higher people. What can you do? So therefore, we have developed this thinking all the time that we have to compete. I have to be better than you in this way, mutually. Every country is thinking like this. Every family is thinking like that. Within the family, every individual is thinking like this. That I have to be better than you. Where is this going to happen? So that's the thing. So in a similar way, these things are spoken to give that understanding within us that between parents and children, the relationship should be like this, the way it is spoken here. So that it's not a competition between parents and the children. So only on that basis all this is spoken. On a spiritual level, this is higher than this. There are more other things to come to. So anyway, here, Krishan Balaram offered obeisances to Vasudeva and Devaki, right? The another thing is that when we read Bhagavatam, we have to think also a lot of these things, where our current way of life, how far it is away from the way Shastram has spoken. We have to think that way. And then you can see a lot of things where we have failed in our lifestyle and why we are suffering in this world because of that. Yeah. So, they offered obeisances and because of Maya was applied back on Vasudeva, Vasudeva and Devaki felt very happy now that their children have come home and they embraced them. And then Ugrasena was installed as a king, right? And those Yadavas who left because of fear of Kamsa, they ran away from Mathura, a lot of Yadavas, they've all come back now to live in Mathura, right? So, and when Krishan Balaram installed Ugrasena, the Yadavas who left Mathura before and who had come back now, they all felt very happy now because they didn't have any fear of Kamsa anymore, right? And then Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj that you please go back to Vrindavanam, yeah? And I have certain important things to be done here and I have to stay here, he said to Nanda Maharaj. While leaving Vrindavanam, Nanda Maharaj never thought that this is going to happen, right? And he knew that Yashoda Devi is waiting there. And if Krishna doesn't go back, how Yashoda will feel about that, right? And Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj, you go back and then pacify Yashoda Devi and all the gopis who are there, who are waiting for me, right? And Krishna gave them a lot of gifts to Nanda Maharaj to give it to them, right? And they took all those things and they had to go. They had no other choice, right? And half-hearted they left, right? And then Vasudeva and Devaki, there's a lot of scenes there when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj felt very hard to leave. But by now, Nanda Maharaj started realizing that Vasudeva is his father, not him. So, obviously, he had to adjust his mind along with that. Krishna can apply the Maya wherever he wants, whenever he wants it. And he can, and unless we accept this thing called Maya, we will never understand this world. If you think, this is the problem, everything you are looking through the senses and thinking everything is real, everything is real. And in this state, to understand this world is very difficult. So, therefore, what happened was that till now, Krishna is almost 12 years old. He didn't have any proper education based on today's way, style, lifestyle, no education. Never went to school. All these days they were playing all the time, right? So, and the Upanayanam has not happened. That's another thing, which should have been done by age of 8. That was not done. So, they went to Sandeepani Maharshi's ashram. Sandeepani Maharshi comes from Kashi, Banaras, right? Even though later on Avanti, they have started the Sandeepani Sadhanalaya and all that, but originally he is from Kashi, and he's learned a lot of lessons, studied there, in all politics, then in the art of fighting, and studying Vedam, Artha Vijaram, of studying the Vedam. This is all done based on the system that was existing then, right? Vedam is not good enough if you just study how to recite the Vedam. Arthavijaram is not required. Arthavijaram is required. Arthavijaram, for example, Vedam has got this Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishads, right? You have to study all of them in the Vedam, right? And, for example, Rigvedam if you study, Rigveda Samhita. And Samhita... depending on which shakha, branch of the Rigvedam, you have to study that particular shakha well, right? So, Rigvedam, says if you are studying Rigvedam, you have to study the Brahmanam, Upanishads, Aranyakam. Only if you study all of them, Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad, all of them, only then your study of Rigvedam is complete. Yeah? For example, just trying to understand what all Krishna had to study there, right? Krishna doesn't have to study anything. The whole Vedam has come from him. But while here, he was always an example to others. In Brahmachari life, in Grihastha life, in every time, he was an ideal person. Because his idea, purpose of Krishna coming here was also to teach us the Vedic way of life. Yeah, so, Rigvedam, for example, has got Aidareya Brahmanam and Kaushitaka Brahmanam, the two Brahmanams in the there, right? And similarly, there is Aidareya Upanishad, Kaushitaka Upanishad, right? And so depending on which shakha of the Rigvedam you come from, all Rigvedi study, don't study the whole thing. In Rigvedam also, there is these two branches. Aidareyam and Kaushitakam, right? So, Aidareya Brahmanam, Aidareya Upanishad, you have to study. If you are from the Aidareyam side, or if you are a Kaushitaki Brahmanam, then Kaushitaki Brahmanam, Kaushitaka Upanishad, all those things you study, right? So, only if you do like that, your Rigvedam is complete. Rigveda study is complete, right? In the same way for other Vedam also, Yajurvedam, Samavedam also. Krishna belongs to, by his lineage, he belongs to Shukla Yajurvedam. That's where he belongs to. So, he's a Yajurvedi. He's not a Rigvedi. He's a Yajurvedi. Krishna is a Yajurvedi, right? So that means, and that Yajurvedam has got two branches, Krishna Yajurvedam and Shukla Yajurvedam, which was discussed in the Bhagavatam later on, what they are. So Krishna belongs to Shukla Yajurvedam. That means its Samhita is Shatapatha Brahmanam and Brihadaranya Upanishad and Ishopanishad. They all belong to the Shukla Yajurvedam. So Krishna had to study Brihadaranya Upanishad. Krishna has to study Ishopanishad, and Krishna has to study Shatapatha Brahmanam in thorough, in detail. He has to study that, right? So only if you study all these things, his study of Shukla Yajurvedam is complete. Unless he study all these things. 64 days he stayed there in Sandivani Maharshi's ashram. And in that 64 days, this is what he had to study. Shukla Yajurvedam and its Upanishads, Brihadaranya Upanishad. Of all the Upanishads, Brihadaranya Upanishad is the biggest one, the largest one, right? And Ishavasya Upanishad. If he has studied all that, then his Shukla Yajurvedam is complete. For that's all he has studied, right? So Shukla Yajurvedam Upanishads are these two, Brihadaranyam and Ishavasya Upanishad, right? And similarly, Aranyakam also. Similarly, Aranyakam also, right? So now you know, Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad, the four different ways, right? And it is meant to be studied at a certain stage in life. Mantram for Brahmachari, Brahmanam for householders, Aranyakam for Vanaprastham, and Upanishads for the sannyasis. That is in the normal world, right? So, so the difference is, Aranyakam means forest. Aranyakam, when you study, you will study along with Upanishads. But the way you study Aranyakam and the way you study Upanishads are different. Right? So, there is the way of grasping the knowledge from the Vedam. That's what it means. From Aranyakam, you will take what is necessary for the Vanaprastha Ashramam. From Upanishads, you will take what is necessary for the Sannyasa Ashramam. It's on that basis it is taught, right? Then after this, in 64 days, Krishna completed all that. And then you have to offer Guru Dakshina, isn't it? After studies, you have to offer the Guru Dakshina. For that, he asked Sandivani Maharshi and his wife, what should I give as Dakshina, right? So by now, they were knew who Krishna is. Like, he can do anything. They had a son who died long ago. When he went to the ocean, he was killed there. They would like to have him back. So, knowing well what Krishna can do, they asked this. They knew that Krishna can do that, right? There is a demon called Shankhasura. He was the one who has eaten this, Krishna's son, Sandivani Maharshi's son, right? So Krishna went there and killed Shankhasura, right? But didn't get the son of Sandivani Maharshi's son, right? And he was an asura by name Panchajana, right? And he is in the form of a conch shell. That's why it's called Shankhasura. So, Krishna killed that Shankhasura or Panchajana and made that conch shell as his weapon. And that is why this Panchajanyam came to Krishna, right? After it is made that Panchajanyam as his weapon, he wanted to see where the son is, Sandivani Maharshi's son. So he went to Yamalokam, Yamadharmaraja's palace, in Samyaminivhi. He went there and told him to give back the son of Sandivani Maharshi, right? And Yama happily brought him back and gave it to him. In this way, to show that he won over, Krishna showed who he is by bringing Yama also under his control, right? So, and offered as Guru Dakshina the son back to Sandivani Maharshi, right? So we have seen now Brihadvana Leela, Brihadvana Leela, Gokula Leela, then Vrindavana Leela, Madhura Leela is going on now, and people say Dwaraka Leela later on, right? Out of that, the shortest period of time was in Madhura Leela, right? So Madhura Leela basically was one was killing Kamsavatam, right? And then able to allow all the Yadavas to come back to Madhura, to live peacefully there. And all the Yadavas who could not live there because of Kamsa's behavior, right? For saving their own life, they ran away from there. So they have come back now. So after this, there was another important thing happened. What was that? Uddhava meets with Krishna first time in Mathura, right? And Krishna decided to send Uddhava to Vrindavanam to console all gopis, Yashoda Devi, Nanda Maharaj, everybody. So Uddhava's background. Krishna killed Kamsa in Mathura, right? And at the same time, little bit before that, Uddhava has arrived in Mathura. And he was the same age as Krishna. After his education from Brihaspati. And when Krishna arrived in Mathura, at the same time, Uddhava took charge of, Uddhava got closer to Krishna and became more like a friend and a disciple in that way. A relationship began from that day onwards. So, Krishna also accepted Uddhava as his close friend. And such a close bondage they had between Krishna and Uddhava. Always, Krishna took Uddhava very seriously. And Uddhava also in the same way. Because Uddhava's relationship was like that with Krishna. Nothing he wanted from Krishna. He just wanted to be bhakti. That is bhakti, right? Proper bhakti. Dasya bhakti it was, right? And because of that, Krishna never kept any secret from Uddhava. Nothing confidential. What he could not share with Uddhava. He will share everything with Uddhava, right? And in return also, in return, Uddhava also loved Krishna and respected Krishna all the time without any, that relationship was like that. Great respect for Krishna Uddhava had. And Krishna also knew that Krishna is a Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma. This awareness was there in Uddhava all the time, right? And that Krishna is Sachidananda Brahman, that realization Krishna has given to Uddhava a few times in that relationship. And therefore, that bondage was very strong between Krishna and Uddhava, right? And Uddhava saw Krishna only as Sachidananda Paramatma in that way. And he had few experiences like that. Krishna has given that experience to him. And he saw Krishna in the same way, right? So therefore, he took Krishna's service very seriously. And like a shadow, he followed him throughout the life. Throughout that life. Remember, 115 years. Started at the age of 10 or 12. Until 125, Krishna left. So that means you can say that about 115 years or 112 years. Uddhava followed Krishna like a shadow. And served him without anything, expectations in return. Nothing he wanted. So That was Uddhava sadhana. Right? So, simply being a servant, Sri Krishna Dasyam, Dasya Bhakti, that was, he was the epitome of that. And that alone is Uddhava sadhana. No other sadhana Uddhava has done in his life, except this direct service to Krishna throughout these 115 years. Right? So, through that Dasyam alone, Dasya Bhakti alone, Uddhava has reached the highest position, both in Jnanam as well as in Bhakti. Uddhava reached that state. Highest position in Jnanam as well as in Bhakti through this Dasya Bhakti, Dasyam. There's no other sadhana he has done, right? So, why did Krishna decide to send Uddhava to Vrindavanam, not anybody else? That is the next question that's coming back after that, yeah? So, that's where it comes. Krishna decided Uddhava is the right person to go. And if you look into the third canto, Krishna didn't do it whimsically, or somebody should go to pacify them. No. No dhavo nabhi manyunam. Third canto, if you look. No dhavo nabhi manyunam. No dhavo nabhi manyunam. Yadgunair ardhida prabhu. Ado madvainam lokam grahayan nivatishtadu. That is verse 31 in the fourth chapter, third canto, 3, 4, 31. No uddhavo abhimanyuino yadgunair nardhida prabhu ado madvainam lokam grahayan nivatishtadu. What Krishna is saying there is that this Uddhava, that is how Krishna sees Uddhava, right? Uddhava and me, there is no difference, Krishna says, right? In any way, Uddhava is not lower than me, in every level, right? Why is that? Why did he say like that? That the way Uddhava controlled his senses, sense control, right? And that is what, why Krishna has said this. Krishna's sense control is very well known, is it not? Krishna's sense control is well known that he is Alparama. Krishna says Uddhava is equally an Alparama in every level, right? So, because we have all others, jivas, the most difficult thing is sense control. In Uddhava is Jitendriya. And because of that, Uddhava is equal to me. Uddhava has never shown any desire to enjoy senses throughout these 115 years. What does that show? Right? So, therefore, Krishna thought that if Uddhava goes there to talk to the gopis and to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they will understand it better. And Krishna decided that gopis should know these things. Krishna understood, gopi's situation was different. It's not like Uddhava's situation, right? Gopis got attracted to Krishna. And they wanted to have relationship with Krishna. And they thought of him in a different way. They had no knowledge that he is the Antaryami. Krishna is the Antaryami. And whereas Uddhava knew that, Krishna is the Antaryami. He is the Sachidananda Brahman, right? So, Krishna wanted to gopis to understand. Right now, gopis' relationship with Krishna is in the sagunam side. Krishna wanted them to do the nirgunam side of it, which is Antaryami position. So both Sagunam and Nirgunam, that was the message what Krishna gave it to Uddhava to convey to gopis. You have to look the whole thing, 46, 47 chapter in the Bhagavadam. If you study, it's a very important, those two chapters, right? That is where you understand what self-realization means. Yeah? This Sagunam, Nirgunam, you can't avoid either of them. Both are necessary. Only then your spiritual life is complete. Yeah? Generally, it is through Sagunam you come to Nirgunam. And that is what has happened to the gopis. They have come through Sagunam first. Sagunam means you are attracted to a form first. And through that form, you develop bhakti. And through bhakti, you come to self-realization, which is Nirgunam. Nirgunam is self-realization. Sagunam is the form, attraction to the form. It is in the Kapila Maharshi's teaching to Devahuti. It is in this chapter. It is in the Ekadasham also. Krishna will talk about the same thing. So, from Bhagavadam, you have to extract all these things and get a clear understanding that this is how self-realization happens. So, Sagunam, what happened to the gopis were, they have reached almost the topmost level of Sagunam. But Nirgunam, understanding wasn't there in them. And that is when Uddhava comes to Vrindavanam to give that message. So if you look at the message itself, you will get it very clearly that Uddhava is giving them that Nirgunam understanding of Krishna. But on bhakti level, Uddhava had to offer respects to gopis to the state they have reached. In bhakti is concerned. Yeah. When Uddhava went to Vrindavanam and delivered this message, the message is, we will read the message later, what Krishna gave the message, right? When the message was delivered, still gopis did not get the taught realization, Nirgunam realization, right? So you shouldn't think that after the message was delivered, they got the self-realization, right? So, at least they understood one thing, that there is another aspect to Krishna like this. As Antaryami inside, who is your very identity as the self. That side, gopis didn't know before. But gopis got to know that after Uddhava delivered this message. They got to know that. But they didn't have the realization still, right? In order to get that realization happened to gopis later in Kurukshetram, Samanta Panchakam, when they all came for the solar eclipse. So, bhakti has brought gopis to a very higher level, no doubt about it. But at the end, gopis got the Nirgunam realization. Their realization became complete only at Samanta Panchakam later, when they are assembled there for the solar eclipse, right? So, with that, gopis got total realization, Sagunam as well as Nirgunam. So, look at the verses first, 46:1. Vrishninam pravaro mandri. Shri Shuka Vacha, Vrishninam Pravaro Mandri, Krishnasya Daida Sakha, Shishyo Brihaspade Sakshal, Uddhavo Buddhisattama. Then, among the Vrishnis, Uddhava belongs to that group of Yadavas, Vrishnis. And his close friend and the minister, and Brihaspati's disciple, highly intelligent. Who says, Shuka Brahmarshi says this about him. Highly intelligent, right? Among the Yadavas, right? And he is also very close to Krishna. Krishna is very dear friend. Krishna said, Daita Saka. And Uddhava Buddhisattama, highly intelligent. Why did he say like that? Vrishninam Pravaram, he says there, isn't it? Vrishninam Pravaram. Why does Vrishninam Pravaram? Because from Brihaspati, who was his guru? Uddhava's guru, right? And from Brihaspati, he learned Aparavidya. Paravidya, Aparavidya, both, right? So, he is considered to be, to learn from Brihaspati means Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods as well, is it not? So, among the Brahmanishtas, main person among them is Brihaspati. And Krishna has confirmed this in the Vibhuti Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see there. Among who are self-realized people, I am Brihaspati, Krishna says. You know, in Bhagavad Gita. It is in the Bhagavatam also. So, Brihaspati, among the jnanis, like he says, he is Shukracharya, Kavinam Ushanam Kavi, he says. Among Shukracharya is among the Kavis. Kavi means Kranda Darshi. Kranda Darshi means one who can see the truth beyond everything. It's called Kranda Darshi. He has got deep vision. Brihaspati, in self-realization, he is a jnanis, among jnanis, he is one of the topmost. That's why Krishna says, I am Brihaspati among them. And among kavis, I am Shukracharya, he says like that. So, in this way, to become a disciple of Brihaspati, and he has got this expertise in Paravidya and Abravidya, Paravaram. That's why he says here, Vrishninam Pravaro Mandri. Pravaram means that, right? That Uddhava was, among the Yadavas, it was only Uddhava, only Uddhava had this opportunity to learn from Brihaspati, not others, nobody else, right? And Buddhisattama. Buddhisattama means not the kind of buddhi what we are talking about. To go to Mars and to get stuck in the space and all that. This is not buddhi, is it? Is it buddhi? Can you say? To go and get stuck there? And not able to come back. What kind of buddhi is this? Do you think it's buddhi? That's not, Shastram doesn't accept any of these things as buddhi. Buddhi means such a sattvagunam inside. That means so pure at heart. Therefore, when Shastram is spoken, able to capture that straight away, the truth. Yeah? To extract the knowledge of the Shastram and able to accept it, and to change oneself on that basis of acceptance. That means good Shraddha, good comes from Sattvagunam. When you have good Sattvagunam inside, you have good Shraddha inside, power of Shraddha. And with that Shraddha, that heart gets purified, and among the Yadavas, nobody else has such a pure heart, Chitta Shuddhi, Hriday Shuddhi, like Uddhava had, right? So, and whatever he has received from Brihaspati, right? For example, right? Among the Yadavas also, there were many who were attracted by bhoga sugam, sense gratification, right? Similarly, power in this world. And due to that, become very proud. And then eventually, you know how Yadavas killed themselves by drinking alcohol and fighting each other, right? So, all Yadavas were not like Uddhava. Uddhava was a special case among them, right? Only Uddhava did not get caught up in that. Did you see at the end, when the Mausalam Leela happened, at the end Krishna made them all send them to Prabhasam. They got drunk there. And they pulled out all the trees, Airaga trees, and they started fighting and killing each other. At that time, Uddhava didn't go with them. Even though Krishna encouraged everybody to go there, only Uddhava stayed back. And therefore, when they all beat up each other and killed each other, Uddhava was not a part of that. Right? So, that means Uddhava didn't fall for that Maya. And that is why he is Buddhisattva. That is why Shukha Brahmarshi says there, Buddhisattva. He had the intelligence to stay back with Krishna. Because Uddhava knew, if he stays with Krishna, there won't be any disaster for him. And that judgment in Uddhava, that is his Buddhisattva. All other Yadavas fell into Krishna's trap. Krishna said, you should go there and you should perform yagam sacrifices and give charity to the Brahmanas, give them a big feast. They did all that in order to counteract the curse of the rishis, right? For that purpose. And they fell into that trap. As soon as they did all that, they wanted to intoxicate themselves. They got drunk and then they started fighting each other. And they killed, all of them got killed, and two or three people survived back. Chandu Panjavasheshira, it says there, four or five people stayed back. Satyaki stayed back, and then one or two others like that, yeah. So, point is this, that Uddhava was able to make that decision that he shouldn't go there. He knew wherever Krishna is there, it is safer there. And he decided to stay back with Krishna, right? So, so this is what Sattvaguna means, able to make the right decision, right? And he had all the divine qualities, divine nature, Devi Sambhata, that was in him, right? Never affected by lust or anger. This was his qualification. No lust, no anger. Never had in him, right? Which means that he was not subjected to any sense enjoyment. Vishaya Sukham, or senses, he was not a slave of that. He was not a slave of that, right? So, in other words, he was by nature never in the world outside, always internally, able to think, inward-looking, highly inward-looking nature, right? And both senses and the mind were under his control all the time, right? Even for the slightest extent, it didn't go into the sense enjoyment or sense objects, right? To such an extent, his intelligence was pure. And that is why this word specially used there, Uddhava Buddhisattva, we have to understand this buddhi in the proper way. You see, otherwise we will get misunderstood everything. We will say, oh, Uddhava knew all the equations and all the formulas and everything. That's not intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is different. Spiritual intelligence is able to see through Maya, able to see through Maya and see what's the right thing. That understanding, right? So, he was always fixed in the Supreme Truth, Satchidananda Brahman Paramatma, and he followed 115 years Krishna like that, right? And so, there's so many things spoken about Uddhava that when he will wake up before Krishna gets up in the morning, until Krishna goes to bed, he will stay there, ask if he wants anything, Krishna wants anything, right? So, and except Krishna, nothing else in his life. Never got involved in any kind of sense enjoyment any time. And therefore, Buddhisattva. This is what calls Buddhisattva. Able to control the senses and the mind and mind never goes after any sense objects, senses not going to any sense objects, never attracted by Maya in any way, and able to see Krishna's position as the Absolute Truth, and able to follow Him in that way. Right? So, and this is all because of the education from Brihaspati. He was a perfect person in that way. And so because of this purity of the heart, he became very dear to Krishna. Just by knowledge alone, you won't get closer to Krishna. Krishna won't accept you just because you got a lot of knowledge, right? Along with the knowledge, if you also have that purity of the heart, that is what makes Krishna to accept somebody like that. So because of that buddhi, that purity of the heart, as well as the knowledge together, that buddhi saptama, that word used there, and due to that, he became very closer to Krishna. He became everything for Krishna. That relationship was so close, right? And one day Krishna called him. Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtam Bhaktam Ekandinam Kochit Grihitva Panina Panim Prapannarti Haro Hari. That Krishna held Uddhava's hand and he says, Prapannarti Haro Hari Bhaktam Ekandinam Kochit. Look, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi wants to make sure that we understand what kind of devotee Uddhava is. Bhaktam ekandinam kochit, ekanda bhakti. That means that for him only Krishna matters, nothing else in life. Yeah. So, and he told him, Gacha Uddhava vrajam saumya, pitro no priti mavaha, gopinam madhyogadhim, Mal Sandesher Vimocheya, right? Go to Gokulam and go and see my parents, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, right? And also, I'll give you a message and they are feeling separation from me, the gopis. Give this message to them and pacify them. This was the message, right? And he says, you should relieve them from their feeling of separation, pain of separation, through this message. Krishna gives this message to him, right? Particularly to the gopis, he is saying there. Why so important? Because, ta man manaska mal prana madarte tyakta daihiga. Ye tyakta loka dharmasya madarte than bibharmyaham. Gopis are like that. They have no life except me. And apart from that, the whole time they are only thinking about me. They have given up their life in this world, all happiness of this world, and the life after death for my sake. Right? And one who gives up life like that, giving up home, family, everything, and even dharmam, I will keep take care of them, right? It is my ye tyakta loka dharmasya madarthe tan bibharmyaham. It's my responsibility to look after them. This is the message to the world. So bhakti means surrender. Basically bhakti means surrender. Sharanagati, that is what bhakti means. That means if you surrender to Krishna, and like we learned from that Gopika Gita also, that gopis had that three things in them. One thing, they have given up all the dharmam in this world for the sake of Krishna. Is it not? Even they didn't follow the dharmam anymore. That means they have gone beyond dharmam. Dharma means that they had to stay with their husbands, look after the children, parents, everything. Even that they have given up for the sake of Krishna. That's one thing. Secondly, under all circumstances, they were so surrendered to Krishna that Krishna is the only protection for them. Krishna will protect us under any situation. That firm faith in Krishna, that is the important part of that. And the third one, then, there were three things, wasn't it? They gave up the dharmam for Krishna's sake, right? And then they gave up every other happiness of this world for Krishna's sake. Their own happiness in this life. They didn't want anymore anything. No happiness from this world. So they gave up all that. That's what that Nathanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavidamma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that from that Gaudiya Gita. And that's what the those three things, right? And then Ashlishava, and that is what is indicating that under any circumstances, Krishna will protect me. That strong faith inside. So these three things is that what made them like that. And that's what Krishna is saying here also. Ta man manaska mal prana madarte tekta dehigaha. Madarte tekta dehiga means for my sake, they have given up all sense enjoyment, all happiness of this world, in other words. Madarte tekta dehiga. Then ta man manaska mal prana. I am the very soul for them. The same thing is coming back again here. The three things what we mentioned there. One, ta man manaska mal prana. That means only they have accepted me as everything in life. The world doesn't matter anymore. That's one. Number two, madarte tekta dehigaha. All material happiness. Dehiga means the bodily happiness. They have given up that. Then, te tyakta loka dharmascha. All the dharmam also they have. Madarte than vivarmiham. When somebody does these three things, Krishna is saying, it is my duty then to take care of that person. Madarte tyakta dharma, madarte than vivarmiham, he says. So, that is the point. That is the topmost realization of bhakti, in bhakti. They have reached that stage, right? And then, Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. He told Uddhava, Uddhava, these are not ordinary devotees. They are very special, these devotees. Talking about gopis, right? And therefore, you have to be a bit careful when you are talking to them. And then Krishna said, in this separation, how the gopis feel. Maita prayasam preshte durase gogula striya smarandyonga vimukhyandi virahaud kandya vihvalaha. That these gopis, when I have left Vrindavanam and came here, from that day onwards they have been thinking about me, and due to my separation from them, they are becoming unconscious sometimes. To that extent, they were feeling that feeling of separation from Krishna, right? So, so Krishna says to Uddhava, you go there, and this message, you should relieve them from their suffering, right? And only through these words, they will feel some relief. So, Uddhava also felt that otherwise you won't be able to console them. They will only feel relieved if they receive this message, what I'm going to give it to you, he said. And then he gave these messages, right? They loved me only, gopis, nobody else in this world. And all their love, they have given it to me. And their mind is always absorbed in me. So, they don't know anything else in this world except me. And this is the state of consciousness of the gopis, right? Both their mind as well as the intelligence is fully in me. Therefore, they don't know anything what is going on in this world. Because of that, their senses obviously won't go into the world outside for sense enjoyment. And even if it goes outside, what is the use? He says, just like in our life also, if we think about something very deeply absorbed in that, if somebody even comes in front of us, we won't know it. Because you are thinking so much about, your mind is absorbed in that person or object or whatever it is, right? So, even though senses make contacts with sense objects, right? If the mind is not ready to get that experience inside, you are not going to feel it, isn't it? That is why sometimes you are sitting and you are thinking about something very deeply, something else, whatever it may be. Somebody has come, your eyes have seen that, but it is not registering inside. Why is that? Because the mind is not involved. Only when the mind gets involved, you get the experience of that person who has come in front of you. Till then, the eyes are seeing that, but you are not experiencing that. This happens all the time, is it not? So, Krishna is saying like that, their mind and their buddhi is completely in me. And therefore, they don't know anything else. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Mat prana. Madarte tekta dehiga. Ta man manaska. Mat prana. Madarte tekta dehiga. Ye tekta loga dharmascha. Madarte tan bibharmyaham. So, for them, their pranan, life, is me, Krishna says. And for them there is nothing in this world except me. And every one of us, we all like our life is in a pranan, more than anything else, right? So, we always try to protect pranan. Pranan means life, life inside, right? Krishna says, I am their pranan now. And they are closer to me than anything else. And they are not even concerned about their own body as much as their attachment to me is concerned. Krishna says, Uddhava, their pranam, their mind, their buddhi, all of them is completely in me. And similarly, their senses also. Pranam means basically senses also is covered in that. Similarly. So Krishna says to Uddhava, I am their pranam, I am their senses, and they don't know anything else than me. And that's what he is saying here. Maitam prayasam preshte duraste gokulastriya smarandyonga vimukhyandi viraha utkandya vihvala. Ever since I left Vrindavanam, those gopis are thinking about me, and due to thinking about me, due to my separation, they are feeling so weak and they are feeling helpless about it. And Krishna is saying here that tekta dehiga means that no more happiness in this world, not even thinking about happiness after death. After death. You have to appreciate the consciousness of the gopis, what level they are at. Yeah. Normally, in life, in our life in this world, when you get older, very older, and you get closer to death, right? Why we get scared of death? There are reasons behind it. Yeah. For example, when we live in this world, say I'm living here now, and I have not been to America, but if I have to go to America, I know some people who have gone there, and talking to them, they will tell you a lot of things about America. So you go there once, and then you see America, which is different from here, and a few times if you go and come back, you can get used to America. And then you know what America is like, isn't it? Now, when in the it, problem with the death is, we don't have anybody who have come back and told us what is going to happen after death. This is the biggest problem, number one problem. One problem. There are many problems. This is one of the important, and that is why when death is getting closer, our mind is always thinking about that, because you are going to a completely uncharted territory. You are entering. You don't know what is waiting there after you leave this body. That is why death is so, anybody in this world, no matter who it is, whether it is President Biden or it is somebody else in the street, they all have that fear. When death comes, this is the first fear that comes to the mind. And that fear will always be there. What's going to happen after we die? Where? Because we don't know where we are going. Whereas, in this world, you can know, or you can hear from somebody else. Like when we were at school, children, in the village, Bombay was a big thing for us. City, Bombay, right? Big city. We have not been to Bombay. Our little village, so many bullockarts, and we were chasing the bulls and all that. That was the lifestyle we had. Bombay was far away for us. Bombay was a big city then. At that time, Bombay was so big, at that time even at that time, I'm talking about 60, 70 years ago. So, when somebody comes back from Bombay and tells us that Bombay is like this, you start looking at them with big admiration about Bombay. But then, after you've grown up, see 20, 25, you've gone to Bombay once and got used to, and a few times you've gone to Bombay and come back, you got to know Bombay, well, and then you don't feel that nervous anymore. Same thing is going to America also. So, these things are, at least there are people who can come and tell you what happened there, what's going on there, right? But in this one, there is nobody to tell us what happens after death. And that suspense will be there till you die. Especially when you get older and then you know that death is coming closer. Now you see so many people are leaving the body and close to leaving the body. So they are all going through this one problem, right? This is one issue. Apart from that, death brings other issues as well. If you have studied Shastram, and if you know that you have to accept another body, that itself is enough to put you off. Coming back here with another body, that means you know what that means, isn't it? Going to school, education, if you get a human body, that too if you get a human body, education, then all the miseries that you have to go through, the schooling, college days, and getting a job and getting work, marriage, children, bringing them up, endless miseries one after the other. Is it all worth? Those thoughts come in. If you get another body, provided you get a human body and come to this world. Suppose you didn't get a human body, you got one of those lower species. Imagine what would happen there. And when you see their suffering, like you can see how the tiger attacks the deer, and the deer running away for life from the tiger or the lion, and their survival, the struggle to survive in this world, alligators or crocodiles fighting with the animals and trying to kill each other and to survive. So if you enter into the animal kingdom, the suffering's there. More than anything in the YouTube, plenty of to watch, how the animals suffer. If you get to the life of this plant or the trees or creepers, due to what all we have done, we don't know what is in waiting, right? So many uncertainties in life when we leave this body. Everything is uncertain. This is enough to put a person to think what is going on. And this is all causing anxiety at the time of death. All these thoughts will come very strongly inside. Because at that moment you won't be thinking about all the other things in this world. Those will disappear because you know your connection here is over. It's broken with this world. You are getting ready for another phase of existence from this world, right? So, that is what he is saying here. Gopis, this is where bhakti comes. Bhakti's importance is what is spoken here. If one develops bhakti, and if you have that, got that strong faith in Krishna, that Krishna will protect you under all circumstances. If that conviction has grown enough inside, then you can face the death. Otherwise, you won't be able to face the death. You will be in trouble. Because all the attachments we have created in this world, wife, children, home, family, money, all the other, paraphernalia we have created here and got attached to all that, they will all come at the time of death. And you will feel the suffering of separation from them. You're forced to leave them all. And that suffering is very powerful and very difficult to overcome. And in that consciousness, if you die, you will have to come back, certainly. But Gopi's case, what Krishna is saying here is that is why these things are important. Madarte tyakta dehigaha. Bodily happiness they don't consider anymore. To such an extent, they have got closer to Krishna. Krishna has become everything for them. In Sagunam, this is the highest level you can get to. This state of consciousness. That madarte tyakta dehigaha, ta manmanaska malprana, yetyakta loga dharmascha. Loga dharmam has gone, everything. All dharmam in this world has gone. And similarly, all bodily happiness also they have given up. And they have so absorbed in them that complete sharanagati. Krishna will protect them under all circumstances. So these three rules is the perfection of bhakti. And that's what they have reached that state. Gopis have reached that state. That's what Krishna is saying there. That's why that fourth verse, Krishna is saying this about the gopis. So you can imagine from that, Krishna's recognition of the gopis. Krishna is recognizing gopis have reached that state. Yeah. Tha manmanaska malprana madarte tyakta dehiga ye tyakta loga dharmasya madarte dhan vibharmeham. Krishna is saying there, I will take care of them. There is no doubt about that. Yeah. It is my responsibility for their happiness. Yogam, kshemam, both. It's my responsibility. Says like that. Yeah. So, and Krishna is saying there that for my sake, they have given up family life, everything, right? And, and, tekta dehiga means that they didn't concern about their own happiness anymore in this world. Everybody likes their own little bit of bodily happiness. Everyone looks for. Even that they have given up, right? So, so here the question will come. This dharmam, so dharmam, up to what extent one should follow dharmam? This question will come, right? So dharmam one should follow with samarpana buddhi as an offering to Krishna, right? Up to what point, right? That's what he's saying here. And till you come to this state like the gopis have reached, up to that point, dharmam will leave us then. You don't have to follow dharmam after that. That means if bhakti has come to this level, after that you have no obligations to anybody in this world. You have no obligations to family, friends, society, or anything. No obligations, provided you have reached this state of bhakti. Right? So, that is what he is saying here. Yeah. So, Krishna's point is that ultimate goal of human life is to develop this bhakti. To develop this bhakti. And they have succeeded in that. Krishna is able to say this. Uddhava will understand this. When Uddhava, because Uddhava is also a devotee, and devotee of a very high status. And therefore, Uddhava, Krishna knew that Uddhava will understand all these things. Otherwise, if you tell an ordinary person these things, he won't understand. To understand, you have to be a bhakta like them. So that is why he chose Uddhava, right? So dharmam is concerned. Dharmam is necessary. Up to what point? Till you reach this state of consciousness, right? So, why? Because you have got bhakti, what you have to get through dharma. Once you have got it, then you can leave dharma. These are the principles Vedavyasa Maharshi was told by Narada Maharshi. Tetva sadharmam charanambujam harir. Bhajanyobakked. In the first canto you will see this. Bhajanyobakked padetado yadi. Yatrakava badram abhudam ushekim. Ko varta apto bhajadam sadharmada. That verse. That's what Krishna is talking about. When can we leave dharmam? If that question comes, the answer is here. Right? So dharmam has its implication. Even though dharmam, you cannot ignore it, because it is through dharmam only you can develop chitta shuddhi. Dharma projita kaidavotra paramo. Bhagavadam begins like that. Is it not? So it's a gradual process. Through dharmam you have to get to a state where you become, develop chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi comes from dharmam. With chitta shuddhi you get bhakti. From dharmam you get chitta shuddhi. From chitta shuddhi you get bhakti. And when bhakti reaches its peak, like the way it happened to the gopis, then you can leave dharma. Or in other words, dharmam can leave you. You are not bound by dharmam anymore. Right? So, Krishna is saying here, for the sake of me, they have done this. And that is why the next verse, which we will discuss tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.